You are listening to the Delay and Pray podcast, episode number 68.
Welcome to the Delay and Pray podcast, where certified Catholic and weight loss coach Beth Bubick teaches you how to permanently lose weight through spiritual fasting. Get ready to gain faith and lose weight through a joyful transformation of both body and soul. Now, your host, Beth, the Catholic Fasting Coach.
Welcome back. I am very excited about the next series of podcasts that I'm recording with one of my favorite priests, Father Logan Parrish. He is the pastor of St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church in Elkhart, Indiana. He has been a priest for 2.5 years, and he is just a wonderful guy. And his homilies are interesting, insightful, and just all around excellent. I love going to Holy Mass at his parish, and I am so honored and thankful that he is here today to discuss an amazing quote with me from St. Peter Chrysologus. That is, prayer knocks, fasting obtains, and mercy receives. This is going to be a three-part series as we divide it into three natural parts, beginning today with prayer, next week with fasting, and rounding out the third week with mercy. Very early on in developing my Delay and Pray method of spiritual fasting, I discovered this quote from St. Peter Chrysologus, and I just loved it. I fell in love with it. The whole quote goes like this: "There are three things, my brethren, by which faith stands firm. Devotion remains constant and virtue endures, and they are prayer, fasting, and mercy. Prayer knocks at the door, fasting obtains, and mercy receives. Prayer, mercy, and fasting, these three are one, and they give life to each other." So this saying became a spiritual motivation for me in so many ways. For me, it gave deeper meaning to my very personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that He is always answering my prayers, and when I add fasting to those prayers, the supernatural action of prayer is elevated even higher because it's an action out of love for another person or for Jesus or for the intentions of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So along with this prayer and fasting that I call Delay and Pray, I am also checking in on my desires and asking Him to shine light on the true desires of my heart and what He wants for me and the ones I love. So I know what I desire for the most part, but boy, I want those desires to match God's divine will. And this is where I depend on His mercy to receive my petitions and suffering and use them for good. So I've known for a long time about redemptive suffering, offering this all to God in love. I have done this for a very long time, even when I couldn't quite seem to get the fasting part down. But it was that very last sentence in this quote, that last fragment called mercy, that actually helped me to fast successfully. I began putting myself in the trusting and loving hands of Jesus, who is love and mercy Himself. The Blessed Mother taught me this, that I must be open to receive God's mercy while keeping my gaze on Him and letting Him shower me with His mercy in whatever form that takes. Confident that He loves me just as much as Jesus and will fulfill the desires of my heart better than I can even fathom. Now, I don't do this all the time. Sometimes I slip into doubt, thinking that He's not going to come through and that I got to do it on my own. But that's when I go back to prayer and those sacraments, go to confession, and start over. So we're going to delve into this prayer from St. Peter Chrysologus, beginning with prayer knocks, and discuss the meaning and hope it can bring us today, especially during Lent. So I hope you enjoy our discussion. Hello, Father Logan. Welcome to the podcast.
Beth, happy to be here.
Oh, wonderful. So tell me, before we begin, a little bit about yourself and how you decided to go into the priesthood. And we're so blessed to have you, by the way. So just give us a snippet.
Yeah, just a short form. I'm from Fort Wayne, just an hour and a half south of Elkhart. I'm from a big family, the oldest of 10, and there my parents really kind of planted my faith as a seed. And in high school, I really began asking a lot of questions and having some important mentors, especially Father Jacob Meyer, who was our chaplain at Bishop Twanger. And there he planted another seed, that of the idea of priesthood. And while I was in high school, that began to grow. And eventually, Father Jacob really pushed us to think seriously on seminary, and a good few of us had thought on it, and then we all threw it to the side so that we could date some girl or go off to college, and so I went. And so two of my classmates and I, we each kind of were dating our girlfriends and going to different colleges, and Father Jacob never gave up on us and praying for us and checking in, and eventually, after our time in college, each of us would end up finding our way into the seminary to study and discern the priesthood. And now three of us from Bishop Twanger that Father Jacob had really sort of moved and formed. Now we're all serving at our different parishes in the diocese. So thankful to have had such good mentors in the faith, such a family of faith, and to get to know the Lord who has been so gracious to send me to St. Thomas here in Elkhart.
Oh, that is fantastic. By the way, for those of you who don't know, Father Jacob Meyer is my nephew. And talk about prayer knocks. That is amazing. He was knocking on your door and you answered this way.
So certainly. Yes.
That's beautiful. And I have to tell you, poor Father Jacob, he had three candles lit, one for my son, one for my sister's son, and one for my other brother's son. And he blew them out one by one after each one got married. So thank God for you. Thank God for you, Father Logan. You answered the prayer.
That's great. So
this prayer knocks is what we're discussing today. And I use this quote all the time in my teaching and guesting on podcasts, because I think that Catholics do pray. And I think it's really kind of a cool image to think about prayer knocks. You know, in Matthew 7:7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." So we're assured that we knock on the door of Jesus with prayer and that he will answer. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think whenever we approach prayer, it has to be from a place of confident expectation. It's really the place of the child at your parents' door. And when the child wakes up in the middle of the night or is feeling sick, they know that when they go to their parents' door, they will be answered, right? Mm-hmm. And so that confident expectation, that has to be the disposition of the one who prays. And so as long, this is what we call faith, right? The trust that my Father hears me and he will respond to me as he sees fit. And so if the child, you know, finds a nice place between mom and dad in bed, so to speak, in the metaphor, that's probably what they were looking for. However, if they find a puke bowl and sent back to their bedroom, maybe that's what the Father knows is best for us, right? So the confident expectation that my Father will hear me and will respond as he sees best for my good. That would probably be how I would approach with the confident expectation, right?
Oh, I love that. I love that. So why do you think knocking every single day is important?
I think we can look to the farmer for a different example. He plants the seed knowing that he cannot control the weather, nor control the weeds or the nutrients in the soil. Nonetheless, he plants the seed. Mm. Why? Because his life depends on it. His family depends on it. He depends on it. And so I would put it in terms, first and foremost, of survival.
Wow. I don't think a lot of people think about it that way. Ooh, no, that's amazing.
A little bit more intense. No, right? Jesus describes the Lord, describes his Father as the giver of all good gifts, right? And so if I do not pray, I am like one in the midst of the desert without water. That's was kind of my approach on Ash Wednesday, is that like we have to make sure as we enter the desert, we have this living water, what we call our prayer, right? And so to go without praying every day would be as to go into the desert without any water. I had a similar experience just a few weeks ago on vacation. We were hiking up a mountain. We were 5 miles up, 5 miles back, and I brought one water bottle foolishly. And we get about halfway into the hike, and I realize I have no more water, and I am very dehydrated, and I'm not going to make it up there and back without water. And so at that point, we're just packing the snow into our water bottles and going to the stream. We're just hoping that that's pure enough water, right? That was poor planning on my part, really risking my life. I mean, what if there wasn't any water, right? Like a desert. So we have to see prayer in terms of survival. If without God, where would I be? I think of another quote of the saint. He says, "Without you, Lord, I am nothing," right? Derived from the words of Jesus, "Without me, you can do nothing." And so why do we keep trying to do so much without him? It seems very futile. So the survival is how I would compare it.
I love that. I really do. And you know, the other side of that too is, I know I was telling you a little bit about my mom. I remember when she was in the retirement home, she just waited for me to come to see her and just sit a while, share a cup of tea and talk. I know I would tell her everything about my life, my successes, failures, excitements, anything, right? And she would listen to my story and I would listen to hers. And I think about that sometimes, like in front of the Blessed Sacrament too, is, you know, I'm just falling in love with Jesus and I just feel like he wants me to come. He waits for me there. He just waits for me. Just like my mom. She waited. And she probably was the one person in my whole life that like beamed up when I entered the room. I'm not saying that nobody loves me. I'm just saying that there's something about a mother and a father that is just like, when you walk into the room, they're just like, oh, you're here. And they're so excited to see you. And I think of the Lord that way, that he's excited to see me. He wants to see me. And so I missed go. Maybe it's my survival
Right. I mean, it's true. I remember St. Ignatius of Loyola, he recommends, he says, whenever you start in prayer, silence your heart and allow the Lord to look upon you with delight for the space of an Our Father for about 15 seconds. Don't let it go too long. Like, you don't want to get too egocentric there, but he just wants to allow us to receive the delight of the Father. That just went like when you went into your mom's retirement home, just to allow her to look upon you with the delight of a mother upon her daughter, right? Yeah, that's the place to start prayer always. Yeah,
I love it. Okay, and so there's lots of ways to pray. I know that I schedule it into my calendar, and I improved like year after year. When I started spiritual fasting, I did one daily mass a week, you know, busy with kids, busy. And I thought that's what I could handle. And then the next year I added a day, and then the next year I added a day. And now I'm on 5 or 6 days a week, daily mass, and I have more time than ever. I always say, spend time with Jesus, bend time with Jesus. He sort of makes more time. Your shift from the natural to the supernatural when we get to the sacraments and we pray and we really let him seep into our pores. So what would you say about that, especially during Lent?
Yeah, when it comes to prayer, not as much me seeking the Lord, but him seeking me, right? And so this is why the book of Revelation 3:20, Jesus says to us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever opens the door to me, I will enter the home and I will dine with him and he with I. I will dine with her and her with I, right? And so to begin to see prayer is less me doing something and the Lord doing something in me, right? He longs for the invitation in. So I guess as we approach Lent, as we're so focused on the things that we get to do, which is true, we need to do things. It's not just an attitude shift. It includes actions. When we see prayer as much as any sort of relationship, interaction as a married couple or two friends, right? It's the movement of being loved and loving. And that being loved actually tends to be the more difficult places, the receiving love for a lot of us. So just to see that, especially that time in adoration, that time of just being loved, of listening, of receiving. Just, I would push that.
Oh my goodness. So I love that because, so when I was actually adding daily masses, he was actually working through me to add that next mass and keep adding the mass. Yeah, he's working through me to do that. That was him. I love that. Sure. I absolutely love that. Well, the other thing is confession is very, very important. And so in my program, people come in, they have like a minimum baseline and it's one daily mass a week and then 1 hour of adoration a week and monthly confession. And it's interesting how a lot of Catholics, the one thing they want to ask is, do I have to do the adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament or can I just do it online? And I'm like, well, if a church is near you, I'm not your spiritual director, but I would say try to get into that church. My whole goal is to get 1 million Catholics to come back into the physical church to receive the hidden Jesus, to come back.
I feel
like the churches aren't as full. So I think we need to come back into the physical church. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think if we were just like the angels, we wouldn't have to be in a physical space, but we're not, for better or for worse. And so I think the Lord, who knows us so well, because he's made us this way, he knows that our bodies need to be in a space. Space matters, including the time matters. Angels don't have to worry about time and space. We do. And so because we are body and soul, the where and the when is going to matter, particularly for prayer. And what I love about the sacraments is that the Eucharist exists at a certain place and a certain time in a certain manner that I can actually taste, touch, smell, and see, right? Jesus knows how he has to relate to us. The angels don't get the Eucharist, right? So Lord approaches us in this way. And if you're going to throw in the sacrament of confession too, we can't do that over the phone. Why? We can't do that virtually. Why? Because we're bodily. We actually have to be in person. Yeah, this is actually how the sacraments work. And this is how the Lord intended it. And so I think the Lord just knows our humanity better than we do sometimes. And we were not made for virtual reality, as that has been clearly experienced. We were made for reality.
Clearly. And then the other side of that is, I wouldn't know you. Like, I wouldn't know you like I know you. Like, right. I mean, it's not like we talk, but for a few minutes after every Mass, but like, we have formed a relationship. And then, like, I go to scripture study over at St. Mary's, and, you know, I love delving into the living word with, you know, this group who we all have different views on different things, and we just add. And it's this fellowship and friendship, and it's just beautiful. And I miss that. In the last few years, I kind of got away from doing activities in the church. And so I was going to Mass and going to the sacraments, but I wasn't actually partaking in some of the activities that were going on, like I used to be, like almost live there. Mm-hmm. Realize how much I missed that. I missed that contact within the Catholic Church. Very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is one thing too that I was going to say is the Bible study, studying scripture. This is my second year of scripture study, and it's changing my life. We are in the Gospel of John, and I can't tell you, like, I used to spend like an hour prepping, and now it's like 2 hours prepping. And I just think that it's just sinking into me, and he is making me a better person through the living word. And I'm actually starting to memorize a little scripture. And I just found out that memorizing scripture actually grows brain cells. It actually stimulates new growth in your brain, like
sure.
Yeah. And obviously that's scriptural. Mm-hmm. And then another way to stimulate your brain cells we're going to talk next week is fasting. It's interesting. It's, you know, all of these things are good for body and soul. But I'm telling you, the scripture study has been vital, and mind and heart are just being stretched and transformed week after week. And I wish I would have done it a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it's accidental that, like, description of the early church, we find this in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42. It says that the early church, they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. Apostles teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, into the prayers. None of those can be really done in community or a screen, right? But especially when we think of scripture study, really is the devotion to the apostles' teaching. In what context? In the fellowship, right? This is really, like, we can attend to the sacraments, but the next push after becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ is not to do this alone. You don't see any basketball star, soccer star, win a game alone. As much as there are MVPs, there's a team here. So no one gets to heaven alone, and no one goes to hell alone. And so we drag people with us. And so as we're doing sort of Bible studies, the devotion of the apostles' teaching, to do it within a fellowship with others, and then the breaking of the bread with others, and even the prayers with others as we can. That's what makes the church. That's the life of the church since the first days. But make sure we keep those together.
Oh, and I feel it. I can feel it. I'm just a better person all the way around, happier person, much more joyful, easier to pray, easier to fast. All of it is wonderful. Well, I learned something today. You know, it's funny, prayer knocks. I was thinking that I was knocking, so that I was thinking that I keep knocking, he keeps answering, drawing me closer and closer, you know, and I'm thinking revelation, he's knocking. He's also knocking. Are we both knocking on the door? Or
It's the both and.
Both and.
The Song of Songs would probably put it as, I'm seeking after my beloved, but secretly he's seeking after me. So it's a both and. Yeah.
Thank you, Father Logan. This is amazing. Thank you for adding that. It's so funny. I was just thinking in one direction. So it's both. It's both and. I love that. And I will keep pondering that all of Lent. So this first episode was amazing. I thank you so much for the discussion. And I look forward to moving on to fasting next week.
Thank you, Beth.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast with Father Logan. If you did, please subscribe and even leave a 5-star review if you wouldn't mind, so others will hear the great message of spiritual fasting, get healthy, lose weight, and get back to the sacraments this year. Have a great week, my friends, and I will talk to you next week. May God bless you and keep you always. If you are interested in learning more about spiritual fasting and permanent weight loss, then come join my course, Delay and Pray, a guided course for weight loss through spiritual fasting. You won't go through it alone either. I will be there to coach you every step of the way. This is a group coaching program where you are part of an amazing community of like-minded Catholics who have the same goal as you, to bring about miracles while losing that weight permanently through spiritual fasting. Your purchase includes an online course detailing what spiritual fasting is, how to do it, and all the tools you need to get you the results you're longing for. Head over to my website right now at thecatholicfastingcoach.com and get the details on how to join. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn to always get the latest daily information to help you keep fasting, my friends. Can't wait to see you in there. May God bless you and keep you always.